96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio, Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, October 6th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we discuss a serious issue. Recently, it appears as if Bahamian Doctors Act are diagnosing children weekly with autism or some sort of developmental concern. There are some who are so concerned that they would have even labeled this as a silent epidemic, right? Parents are concerned, teachers are concerned, and it seems as if their concerns are falling on deaf ears. Long and short, these parents need help. They need Bahamians to stand up with them, and they need this help to sound the alarm, to have the powers that be just to help them, to listen to what their plea is. And today we have members of Families on the Spectrum. And we have Mr. Keith Miller. And I just closed my book, Miss Fox. Major Fox, right? And they are members of the Families on the Spectrum. And I was interested in their story because, you know, when something pricks you to the point where you say, man, I didn't know. I need to join this cause. But before we start that, right, I'm going to start with Miss Fox, and I want to understand what the spectrum is, what you mean by that, right, before we start our conversation. I'm pulling the mic a little closer to you before we start the conversation, and I want to know how you dealt with it, just finding out for the first time.
Yes, as you stated, my son was diagnosed at the age of about 2.5, and it rocked our world. It shook us to the core. After getting that diagnosis, we quickly dug into everything that he would need, and we made preparations to do that. And upon exhausting all of those options here, because there aren't very many options here for services, that would be speech therapy, occupational therapy, and what others may see as the most crucial form of intervention, ABA. The resources were really limited, so I then had to do something, make a major move to get him everything that he needed. And basically that took me to New Jersey, outside of the country that we call home, outside of being surrounded by family, into a world that was aware of his needs, a world that was prepared to meet him where he was and provide what he needed to get him to a certain point.
And I hear you say in New Jersey and you went abroad to get additional support.
Yes.
But why not stay home? We should have things here in place, mechanisms to help support. I mean, I know we for lack of a better word, a third country, mm-hmm. but we take care of our own. We take care of our little darlings.
There, as far as supports and services, access to it privately, and even so, there are long wait lists. And most importantly, Mr. Miller can attest to, it's expensive.
You see, and I'm listening to you, right? And you call in words expensive, and then you have to go private. No, man, it's the Bahamas. Our government gives support for vulnerable people.
There's nothing in place. There's nothing in place. Absolutely nothing. No funding, no resource center. Children, parents have to pay to have their children diagnosed.
You have to pay to get your child diagnosed. You realize something is not normal with your child, and you're trying
you
to evaluate. There's nothing.
I'm having parents reach out to me daily saying that they know that something is not, you know, something is going on with their child.
Yes.
But they cannot afford to have the child assessed, evaluated. They cannot. There's nothing in place.
I'm speechless. Mr. Miller, you can attest that this is happening in the Bahamas now, that there are parents who are challenged just to get their child diagnosed. That's to say, this is what my child is going to be dealing with, and this is the help and support I need.
I wouldn't be so harsh on the government to say that they're doing nothing.
Okay.
They're not doing nothing. They're just doing very little.
And what do you mean by little?
They have established a few special ed classes in various primary schools. But the way they went about it is they don't use the right guidelines. Like, you should have a maximum of about 9 children with a certified, qualified teacher, and about 2 or 3 aides. Normally you'll have about 15, 16 to 20 kids, one teacher, and probably one aide.
And the reason for that, we have a teacher shortage. As you know, the Minister of Education already said that we are short throughout the entire Bahamas. And so I give him a blight for that, right? But you're saying that more needs to be done, especially for special needs children, because they need more. And if they need more, and you give the excuse that, okay, we're short teachers, that surely the children are...
I understand how you're saying it, but we have a problem with the schools opening up on time every year. Being prepared, being repaired, having the right... It's like, is it a shock that school is going to open up in September? Is it a surprise? Didn't you know from last year you were short teachers? So to say that they know that they have a shortage, but knowing and not doing anything, that's the problem we have when it comes to autism. The awareness has increased.
Okay, there's awareness.
The response is almost to say, okay, we talked about it, so that's as much as we're going to do.
So you feel like we're talking but not doing the walk.
Very, very little, very little. Exactly.
So let me go back to Ms. Fox.
What
is it that you want our leaders to do then in regarding to, okay, you have the awareness, Mr. Miller said there's awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing that right.
Right.
But what else is there?
Well, what I want to piggyback off what Mr. Miller said about the special ed units that they have implemented at many of the schools, you have to be careful of clumping together autism, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, ADHD. They all require different interventions.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely different, especially children with autism. So having a unit with the amount, 15 children, one teacher and one aide, it's going to become overwhelming for the children especially, and then in addition to the teachers and the aides. So they need to have a closer look at, you know, providing specific instructions, specific therapies in the school setting.
Okay. And Mr. Miller, you are a parent with an autistic child also?
I have 2 kids.
2 kids dealing with autism?
Yes.
And as a man, mm-hmm. right? Yes. Because men and women react to things differently, right?
Right.
As a man who supposed to protect their child naturally, who prepares and makes sure there's safety for their child, dealing with the school system, dealing with the government, dealing with support, like you can go to social services and go to NIB. Is that happening? Can you fully say, well, I have the resources to help my children survive the future and perhaps without me?
If I get drastic and say I'm going to find the resources to take care of my children, I would have to ignore the mask mandate, put on a bigger mask, and start robbing banks.
Is it that bad, you think?
Like she mentioned, the cost of therapy. The average child needs probably about 24 to 30 hours of therapy a week.
Okay. How much something like that costs?
$60 an hour.
Blouse. You know what, $60 an hour and then you need that much therapy?
That's about $1,200 a week.
That's a week.
That's not their school, the special schooling that they need. Mm-hmm. That's just the therapy. You could pay $800 to $1,200 per month for the school, plus another $1,200 a week for the therapy. So you're talking about, you need about $10,000 a month.
And surely children in the Bahamas, medical support is free, right?
It's supposed to be. It's actually mandated.
That, yeah, because I know you go to Princess Hospital, Margaret Hospital, and
I'm talking from the health side. I'm talking about from the disability laws that we have in place. We have laws in place for to take care of disability that mandates the government to provide these services
free
of charge.
Right.
And you're saying that's not happening?
It's not even being discussed.
What?
It's not even on the table. It's something that they probably are contemplating in the back of their minds, but it hasn't come to the forefront. I don't think any cabinet has ever met successive governments that's really addressed this or even discussed this with some kind of intent to do something about it. I think it's just something that every April we have Autism Month.
Yes.
They do some photo ops.
Get some photo ops.
And it looks nice, and then they might give reach a grant here and there, and then thousands of families still suffering.
And Ms. Fox, how is this impacting you financially? I mean, the type of money Mr. Miller just called, right? Because I'm trying to see, let's lay out like a weekly expense, or I was going to say monthly expense, because I can understand months. I get paid monthly, right? Mm-hmm. What type of money are we talking about for your one child to move forward?
Well, initially, when he got his diagnosis, the diagnosis was around $800.
So you had to spend $800 just to get a diagnosis?
Just the diagnosis. And then he started school, and we were paying $2,164 per month.
That's $2,000, you said?
Yes, $2,164 per month.
Man, that's like Albany school type money.
Right. So we had just gotten married, and when we got the diagnosis afterwards, we had gone through savings initially. Then we went into having fundraiser after fundraiser, and then after that wore off, I had to do something. And I moved. I relocated. And that came about with the support of family members and friends of family members and people who love the child and me and his father. Like, we had family and friend support. Like, I cannot compare it to anything else. And everybody doesn't have that.
You make this seem hard. If you have a special needs child, that it can be overwhelming. And both of you seem to be working class, middle class people. So I can't even imagine people who are challenged financially, and then they found out that their child has concerns.
Divorce rates.
I think in most cases, when you find it, like, say, parents who live in the urban areas, we call the ghetto areas, they just ignore it.
What do you mean by just ignore it? You can't ignore your child.
They ignore it. I guarantee if the government was to do a survey, they'll find out that there's a large amount of kids who have autism who just simply are just passing through the system. They not functioning properly.
Mm.
Or the parents probably looking, that child peculiar. Mm. Something wrong. The child, or maybe something wrong in their head. Or some parents may decide, I'm just going to keep them home.
Right.
Mm.
Or they'll talk eventually.
Yes.
They'll talk eventually.
See, because like in my case, I have a son and a daughter, a 9-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. And they started showing signs at the age of a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Up to that point, they were brilliant, exceptional. And all of a sudden, the light switch went off.
Something happened.
It just clicked. And then they just stopped speaking.
And I want to talk about that, right? And Ms. Fox was mentioning how she got the diagnosis happened, right? And then you just mentioned that something happened between that 1-year-old and going on to 2 or whatever it is, right? And I was asking you how you felt, the emotions of it, and I want to know what type of support you got. Okay, today you realize something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my child to the specialist, the doctors,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the diagnosis.
Right.
And I want to know, how did you maneuver after that?
Like, right.
You know, what happened?
Well, after the diagnosis, leading up to it, we realized that he used to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He could read. before he turned two.
Mm-hmm.
But spontaneous conversation was not there. He was still pulling us everywhere and pointing. And then there was this one day that he was in the room. He was playing with his toys. And I said, we call him AJ. And I called his name. And then he didn't turn around. He didn't move. And then I banged on the door so loud, like somebody was breaking it down. And he did not flinch. So I was like, is there a hearing problem? But then when the motorbikes passed up and down the street,
mm-hmm.
he would move. He heard something. It was, I got the impression that he could hear. So anyhow, we still ruled out that there was a hearing issue. I started doing my research online. And my older sister, Anika, she mentioned that she thinks that he could have autism. So I started doing the research. It became overwhelming because there's a lot of information out there. And so then I just made the decision with my husband, and we took him to have him evaluated at Caribbean Child Center, Caribbean Center for Child Development.
And that's here in Nassau?
Here in Nassau, a private organization.
You know of any public facilities that does that?
No. The ministry has had...
Public health has one.
Public health does have one.
But the wait list is months.
So, I mean, you go and put your name on a list and say, and they call you up weeks or months later and say, well, you can bring your child in now.
Right.
In the meantime, they, what happens?
Nothing.
Nothing happens.
In the Bahamas?
In the Bahamas.
See, in my case, like I'm glad you mentioned, men react differently. When our kids were diagnosed, my wife and I, she went into like a panic mode. I went into denial mode.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be happening, right? Ain't nothing wrong with my child. I don't have strange children.
Mm-hmm.
But when the reality sets in, see, what happens in most families when they have a child with autism, it takes over the whole family.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
The child doesn't have autism by themselves. The family has to react to the autism. So everything starts revolving around that child and the autism issue. Like, I saw that with our kids. You have to, at a certain stage, you have to watch them 24/7. They are fearless.
That's scary.
They do things that, like, my little boy, he would climb on the outside of the balcony, on the railings, on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. They have no fear. They don't understand
fearless
fear.
Fearless to a fault.
And you have to watch them. If you take your eyes off them, you panic. So you, when at that stage, you're in panic mode 24/7.
All the time.
The best time of the night for me is when they're asleep.
Right.
I go, I could take a break.
Right.
So it's the strain on the, that's why we call our group families on the spectrum. It's not just a child.
Right.
The whole family has to deal with it.
And it's every day. It's not just the month of April. We are living this every day, every minute of every day. We're at work and our minds are they safe? What are they doing? What do they need? How can we access it every day?
I have a number of texts of people who are concerned because they now concern about their kids. Mm-hmm. They apparently see some strange signs that they were ignoring and what you were describing,
right.
They identify with. One person is asking, how soon after his MMR shot did your child stop speaking? They just want to know if that was a concern.
I could address that.
Mm-hmm.
At first, because of the media, they were trying to produce a link between autism and vaccinations. So our first child developed at basically a year and a half. They were vaccinated. So we did the research because, let me tell you, when you have a child with autism,
yeah.
you become an expert.
Mm-hmm.
You internet like crazy.
Right.
You Google yourself to death. Right? So the second child, when they had autism, we didn't get no vaccinations until after the age of 3.
Right.
So we ruled out the vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the cause. It's just something that triggers inside them. Before they thought it was because of, but my wife actually does evaluations. She's certified to do evaluations for children with autism. She's finding young parents in their 20s
mm-hmm.
having kids being diagnosed with autism.
Right.
There was no more age bracket anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, but surprisingly, it's twice as many boys as girls.
So it's an issue with boy
harder.
Children.
Yeah, it hits boys much harder, more frequent than girls.
And is there, through your research, any reason why these things are happening?
They have no idea.
No idea.
all the research we've been doing for the last 20, 30 years, answers have not come forward yet.
And again, from your organization, you see apparently an increase in parents coming to join and say, well, our child too.
Yes.
So there's an increase. From your
I get calls weekly from parents wanting to know specifically what I did to get my son from where he was to where he is, and if I had any advice to give them with how to go about accessing resources. And which end, I can't really direct them anywhere that is, I don't want to say free, but inexpensive or something that they can work towards, you know? It's a challenge.
So let's talk about your organization, you know, Families on the Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, is it just a support group? What is it? I want to understand your group. And then I want to know how you're lobbying the government, you know? Because definitely someone needs to be speaking and making noise and calling social services, calling Ministry of Education, mm-hmm. and making the public aware that, hey, there's a problem.
We were born out of frustration. The founding members, we connect at a certain point, and we decided something has to be done. Because we didn't see anything in the public realm, or the political realm, or the governmental realm. Very little was happening. And when you have a gun against your head,
right,
and you're in panic mode, we decided that we were going to form a group of, I wouldn't say concerned parents, stressed out parents.
Stressed out parents.
Stressed. You know the one thing we have in common the most?
Mm-hmm.
We cry a lot.
Oh, Lord.
We cry a lot.
Because we're racing against time.
The clock is ticking. See, the early intervention is the key. And right now in this country, as a group, we saw that there's a window that's open to get them the help they need.
Yes.
But the average person, they don't even know there's a window.
Right, right, right.
So their child, who they see as being odd,
mm-hmm.
is going to become 3, 4, 5, 6. Like, you'll find that a lot of children with autism, they don't get potty trained. I know 9-year-olds who aren't potty trained yet,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
on the spectrum. They have special needs, specific needs. So we got together as a group. We decided we're going to become advocates. We're not just a support group.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We just want to hold each other hands and sing Kumbaya. Everything gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? It ain't gonna be all right.
No.
It doesn't seem so.
Unless we make it all right. What is happening now? We started off being a little laid back and we were optimistic. And if we just ask a few person, if we knock on some doors and we approach this administration and then another administration comes in and they make promises and they pat you on the back, yeah, we can do this and we can do that, then nothing happens.
We've written letters,
mm-hmm.
proposals. And have gotten no response.
From the government at all. Especially the government, I mean all governments, by the way.
Yeah, we're not pointing the finger at any administration.
Right. Right. It's fallen on deaf ears all around. But I want to add to something that Mr. Miller said. We are a support group. We are advocating. But I want to target within this target, within the community, raising awareness and advocating. I want to target parents for awareness as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a child who is 4 years old and they are not speaking, you should be very concerned.
So they're not late bloomers? They 3, 4 years old and they're not speaking? They just...
One of the traits is they were speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Then they stop.
Saying a few words here and there and then all of a sudden it disappears. Or they're not speaking at all. You should be very concerned. I had a parent reach out to me. They have an 8-year-old who's not talking.
Wow.
Right then and there, you know that you should have sought some sort of...
intervention from long time.
Because
now you're challenged. But I see I have a call here. And let me have the caller engage you. Producers, pass the caller through for me. Good morning, caller. How you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Newey. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
NHI, really cover folks with disability and therapy. To pay for therapy right now,
nothing.
I always need therapy because of my doctor. You talk about $200-$250 every time you go. If I was in the U.S., I would get proper therapy on a regular basis on a state plant. Because last time I went to Miami, you know, it was a little expensive. I had to pay for that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the physical challenge over here, catching a lot of hell, and I asked NHI to have a plant for the physically challenged person in this country. We still don't have a plant. We call it us. We have money. We have millions of billions of dollars in this country. We waste a lot of our money, but we really don't spend it on the people and the average person in this country and the average person is right there with their physical challenge. Any person who become disabled, they end up they get them out. Any type of wheelchair, or they have special wheelchairs. They get them any type of rack or wheelchair, they sit in that. They damage themselves more. So these parents are right. We really need to change the system. But we hear talk about blue plant, this and blue plant, that, but it's not really for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And this what I've given you, pray you, Mr. Newick, don't become a wheelchair because you'll go to a lot of health spending money.
I can imagine.
For physical therapy. Brian Sham. Have a good day.
I appreciate this call. But the caller mentioned NHI, mm-hmm. right? What type of money? I know we're on a budget inside this country, so I don't expect it to be much. But what type of money does NHI offer parents who have children on the spectrum?
Well...
We both laugh when you
laugh. Yeah, I find it strange that you don't answer in quick.
There's no access to funding.
No. I think you confuse what I asked. I think you confuse. I'm not saying that. I'm not diminishing the type of funds because I know it's small. But what type of money you can go to NHI and so I can understand that. That I can understand how strenuous it is. What type of money you're dealing with? I mean, no one can see what you're doing.
Zero. There's. We don't get anything from NHI.
If NHI has set up a funding, they have not told the public about it.
So you're trying to say that you have young kids now, right? And you get zero money out of your special needs children.
$0.
The ministers and behemoths are aware that you get no money, and we haven't done anything as yet to say let me give you an extra $60 to go for whatever thing you need to do with your child.
The best way to answer that is I'm not sure that they if they have an awareness, it's a dull awareness. In one ear, out the next. It's not causing them to respond. I know of no public funding right now that a family who has a child on the spectrum can go to the government and say, I need some financial help. And there's some policy or some funding in place for them to be able to help them. Because I know I haven't gotten any.
There is none to get.
I wish there was some. I wish they would put therapy on NHI. But they're going to tell me
the child needs therapy. I mean, it has to be on NHI.
That's a wish list. If you want us to give you the wish list, that's different. The reality list is there is none.
So what do you get?
$0.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
We have to wait through national insurance.
We get their sympathy.
Right. And then through national insurance, we have to wait until the child is 16 years old.
What do you mean wait until the child is 16 years old?
You have to wait until it's too late.
So if in the meantime, if you were poor and do not have access to finances or the graces of neighbors and grace of God, that means your child from 0 to 16 gets no...
Which is, the time frame is now for this crucial intervention, early intervention, intensive early intervention, which has to happen between the ages of, I guess, whenever you get diagnosed,
mm-hmm.
between the age of, what, 1.5, 2, to about 6 years old, when that window is about to close, we can't access anything. There's nothing. If we don't do it on our own, if we don't have family members and friends and angels that they just dive in and say, I want to help, We're on our own until 16. The child turns 16.
My God. So I got to ask Mr. Miller, what type of statistical data that exists about how many persons are being diagnosed with autism? I know you have records.
In the Bahamas?
In the Bahamas. We're talking about the Bahamas, yeah. What type of... See, because I want to know, right? I'm now concerned for you, right? So I'm surely there's data that your organization work with that the government gives you to say, this is what is happening in the Bahamas regarding autism. What type of data do you have?
I would say that if you wanted one word to describe the government's awareness of the amount of children with autism in this country, the only one where I could respond with is clueless. Absolutely clueless.
We have no statistics.
What do you mean you have no statistics?
No, we don't. Zero. I think if they were to do that, then they have to acknowledge that there's a problem.
Right.
If I suddenly dig up, uncover all the problems, then I am obligated to do something about it. So if I don't acknowledge the problem, it buys me some time.
For it to go away.
Wait till the next administration comes in and becomes their problem. And each administration is doing the same thing and waiting till the next one and the next one. And then nothing happens. We don't know. We can guess by our group, and we can guess by talking to people who do evaluations.
The doctors.
My wife does one. She evaluates. And I'm telling you, it's several kids every week.
Several kids every week.
And that's just her.
That's her.
And she has other colleagues who are doing it every week also, who are swamped.
Wow. I see I have another caller here. Let me see what exactly what this caller has to add to this. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for calling. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm on the show?
You are live.
Oh, good afternoon. Good morning. Thank you so much. I want to assist those two parents in there today.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what they're going through. I'm calling from a family island. We have a lot of children on the family island that is going through the exact same thing, ADD. I have a child. What I did when I was younger, we went to Florida. I had to go to Florida to seek help for him.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Florida to seek help for him, they said he was treatable. So you know what they did? They put him in a class and they trained him. They realized that he was good with them and he could remember numbers and things well. Mm-hmm. And so they trained him. All Bahamas? No, we don't have anything for them. National Insurance? Doctors write letters to National Insurance. Doctors write letters to National Insurance asking them to assist me. Never got a response. His medical, I bring it back from away with the report. Never answered back. National Insurance never answered back. Let me tell you, parents, if they think you are capable of helping your child, they wouldn't give you a dollar.
Mm.
And those who don't know the system, don't know how to go through the system, because I knew the system. Those who don't know how to go through the system, they wouldn't even look to try and help them. We have an example. We had a prime minister who Charlie helped. What happened? So this attention deficit disorder, a lot of Bahamian boys, like you said, are going through it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what stems from it. From me getting my feedback, a lot of children in junior schools and the primary schools are going through the same exact thing, but it's being hidden like they can't learn. Like you said, these children are fearless. They are fearless. They can understand what you can understand, what the normal people cannot understand. Mm-hmm. I just tell my children that these children have a special key. God understands. And I want to just encourage you today. Keep fighting. Your parents are listening to your story. I think it's the second time I heard you
the
airwaves. But be encouraged.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carla.
Most parents have to do it all by themselves. Husband, I heard you. My husband was just the same way behind me. Son of mine used to get frustrated. And he said, John, God got it. My son today now, I will tell you who he is. They call him the bread man.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's my son.
Okay.
That's what they call him. National Insurance had never lifted a finger. And he was born as a special child. And the problem what a lot of people don't understand, there is a brain fracture in the back of their head when they're born that caused the problem. So you maybe need to let your child go and have that other medical to see, just to see if there's not a structure in the back of their head. Another person had a child that they call him Purple Rain. He had a son, but his son died. That's where I got the study from. Mm-hmm. And as I was doing my study, I realized that the gentleman who's saying Purple Rain, his son had the same thing. And a lot of people doesn't understand what parents and what these children are going through. Mind you, they are loving children. They will love you more than anybody in this world. They just naturally have a love for people. Just be encouraged.
Thank you.
Better days ahead. People hearing you cry and keep speaking, keep talking. Don't ever be ashamed to speak out. I tell people the good, the bad, and the ugly, they're mine.
Yes, ma'am. Right.
God created them, and we had nothing to do with it. We participate a little bit, but that's God's creation. Be encouraged. Be encouraged.
Thank you so much.
Yes, y'all have a blessed day.
Yes, ma'am. I have another text here that said, I have a nephew that is 1 year old, and he doesn't respond when called. Is that a cause for concern?
Doctors are diagnosing as early as how many months?
Up to 12, 14 months.
Yeah.
They start to show signs. Or delayed development.
Delayed, yes.
You have to be concerned.
Right.
And I like how the lady brought up that we need to realize that kids with autism, they're not retarded. As a matter of fact, it's been noted that their IQ is actually higher than the average child.
They are being recruited all over the world for top positions at major companies.
Autism is, to me, I personally see the autistic child as there's something coming up in the future.
Right.
And God needs some children who think outside the box.
Right.
Special.
They don't look at problems the way you look at them. Mm-hmm. They're not good with social graces. Like, they're not concerned about politeness or cues, social cues.
Right.
They can zero in on a problem, and they latch onto that with tenacity, and so, they will solve it.
So you're saying that once they get the support,
oh yes,
they can be contributing to the Bahamas with
they
ease.
Are huge resources.
Huge
nation.
Resource
that's being neglected.
Before we move on, I just want to address something that the lady said. She said ADHD. ADHD sometimes a common. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's one of the common traits that you find.
Yeah, it's autism. A part. It comes it's along it. With autism.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember the word I was looking for, but it's something that, you know, can happen both of them at the same time in some children,
mm-hmm.
not all, but some children. So yes.
Okay, I have another text here. So I'm a Bahamian working in Toronto in the field of autism. The needs of the Bahamian autism community are vast. The government needs to address and support. The numbers are approximately 1 to 2 in every 100 kids being born. This is an emergency. I have witnessed the increase in numbers over my career. The cost for families is unsustainable, lifelong condition, but they can be assisted and they can improve. I have been working with families from afar. So this person's rendering their support from all the way from Toronto. But we're going to actually take a break right now. And I'm going to have one or two questions on what you want our government to do. If there's one thing you want this government to do right now in order to help you, I want you to enunciate that so at least they know. But this is Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And I'm talking with members from Family on the Spectrum, right? We're going in some detail, but we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You just got bumped up. Bundled fiber customers enjoy up to 3 times the speed increase for free. That means if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, or the Extreme 100 TV Max bundle, or even the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went to 300 megabits per second. Nothing to do. Just keep doing you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And
welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. I'm talking with some representatives from Families on the Spectrum, and they're giving their stories about dealing with their children who are on the spectrum, right? And I just did things were, for lack of a better word, that this bad. And I am vehemently concerned, because definitely we need private sector, we need government to help these parents. I need to plead to Rotary. Rotary needs to get involved. I need to plead to Kiwanis, because they need to get involved and support these parents, because this sounds like a crisis. It sounds like a crisis that we're going through.
It is a crisis. It is a crisis.
But before the break, I was asking if there was one thing that you want the government to do, what would be that one thing? Any of you take that question?
Let her go first. Mine's probably going to be a little long.
I would like for the government to acknowledge that there is a crisis, or there is need for swift intervention on their behalf for the community. We desperately need statistical data to state the numbers that we're dealing with, and then an active, we don't want a reactive, we want a proactive move. You're already hearing something is going on. Before it gets to a point where it's uncontrollable, step in and see what can be done. At least engage the parents to see what their thoughts are. We have knowledge. We can share that knowledge. What we don't have, we can tap into. We can talk about what's going on in the other Caribbean countries, what's going on in America. We can see how we can tap into those ideas and resources and bring it home.
And I'm here thinking. Something just flashed across my mind. Are you aware that Ernie Els, the golfer, a famous golfer, mm-hmm. is in the Bahamas right now, oh, no. having an autism a conference in the Bahamas right now?
I didn't know.
And I'm saying that's happening right now, and you're an organization for autism in the Bahamas, and you're not even aware that financial people who can render support, who can mm-hmm. give information in terms of intervention, mm-hmm. are here. Big conference, you know, there's hundreds of people here in New Providence now speaking on autism and how to render support, and you're left in the dark. Mr. Miller, what is that one thing that you would want our government to do?
I have to be realistic. We're talking about the government. I don't want to wish like a fairy tale. For me personally, I would like to see them take NHI, like how they add medicines and other treatments being covered in the NHI. If they can only let therapy be covered NHI. That would be a great help. But now, that's only going to help to a certain degree, because even if they were to put all the therapies under NHI and suddenly the floodgates open and all the parents can take all their children to get all the help they need, we don't have the therapists in the country.
There's a shortage. Yeah.
We see that, Mr. Nuri, that's the biggest issue we have, is if 100 kids were diagnosed tomorrow, mm-hmm. not enough therapists out there to even help them.
So there's a need for more therapists, and yes. perhaps we yes. need to negotiate with UB to push that issue.
Yes. See, right now, because they have not acknowledged the problem, mm-hmm. there is no strategy to deal with the problem short-term and long-term. Short-term is NHI, to get some help. See, I find that people respond to financial concerns, mm-hmm. political concerns, but it seems that there's concerns that involve compassion. I don't think the country should how we treat our disabled people.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, to me, I think it's almost at a point where if we were to be evaluated, it would probably be considered a disgrace.
Failure.
A disgrace.
Failure.
We sign on to all these international agreements, mm-hmm. Save the Child, disability agreements, but we don't honor them. It's good PR. It's good to say we're part of the international community, but we're not operating under international standards. The Bahamas is light years behind. Mm-hmm. We cannot be compared even to our other Caribbean countries.
That's right.
We're lagging.
Cayman Islands, Trinidad,
we're lagging so bad.
Barbados.
It's horrible.
Leading.
We may need outside help. We may need to have your organization network with some some outside forces and from outside come in and lobby on behalf of you. But I see you have, I have another caller here. Producer, can you patch that through, please? Go ahead, caller.
Golly day to this, stacking away so long with you and your partner, brother Nuri.
Good day, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. We need justice, law, and order in this country, but I want to make a comment. But first, let me ask the brothers, how old are the children?
My son is 9, and my daughter is 9, and my son is 5.
Is how old?
Your 9 son? And 5.
5, okay, good. Let me say something. I used to teach children upward to when the pandemic started, right? We had a little fellow there, he was about 7, 8 years old, right? And he had the same problem, right? Now, he was in the boys' class. Sometimes I teach the boys and the girls together, sometimes only the girls, sometimes the boys alone. And he was in the boys' class, and I see, you know, I could detect his problem, right? A lot of people doesn't detect or understand the problem. They just think that it's a rude person. So I went to him and I stooped down to him. You know, I stooped down because he was sitting in a chair. And I rest my hand on his shoulder, right? And I said to him, repeat after me. I rest my hand on his shoulder to get his attention, you know, because, you know, like they'd be screaming and stuff like that. People don't understand what's happening. And I rest my hand on his shoulder to get his attention. And every word I asked him to repeat after me, he had done it. So I said all of that to say this. We need people who are going to take the time and feel for children in order to get it right with children with that sort of disease. And it can happen, okay? And I've been teaching children all over the place. But it even amazed me to see how he, you know, conducted himself after I put my hand on his shoulder and start talking to him and tell him to repeat after me. So I want to encourage you all, you know, and just take your time and, you know, let people be around him. We're going to take that around them. We're going to take their time with them, you know, and understand that they have a little problem which can be reconciled. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bremen. I know we're running out of time. And one or two questions I want to give, one to Ms. Fox and then one to Mr. Miller. What can the Bahamian community do to help help your families, like teachers and police officers? What would you recommend?
The community, you know, what we require is the community to stand behind families, support by way of becoming more aware when you see them in public. You know, say a kind word, you know, find out how you can directly impact that particular family. There's so many different things, but just be more aware of it. Help us by becoming advocates, even though you may not be directly impacted. You may know someone or whatever have you. Learn more about it. Spread the word. Encourage parents that you may know, may have heard about to, you know, have their children evaluated earlier. Tell them, you know, encourage them that there's help, there's hope. My son was, we were told he would probably never talk, probably couldn't go in a general ed school. He is fully vocal, verbal.
Nice.
He's in a general education classroom. He is teachable. He's learning. And the same for Mr. Miller. There is hope. There's more hope than woe. So we need the community to rally behind us and help us advocate.
Okay, and before I ask Mr. Miller his last question, I have a text say, Cecil, person knows me then, because I call him Cecil. Cecil, you can barely get an appointment to have your child diagnosed. It's really bad. I wanted to have my child see the therapist that they saw many years ago, but they have no space to see him. Is that a problem that happens all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You just can't even get your child diagnosed at all. It's a list.
So long wait list.
Long wait list.
Right.
And of course, timing is important.
Right.
Okay. And your question, Mr. Miller, what projects, programs are you involved with in support of families on the spectrum?
Well, we're a close-knit group. We would like to become more known to the public, to spread our net a little wider, because we realize that there are so many families out there that we're not even aware of. So one of our biggest aims is to draw more people in. Mm-hmm. And we're going to increase the public's awareness. Because I just have to say this. I hope I don't come across strange. I've always been somewhat disappointed that if a child is abused, the public goes nuts. The outcry takes it all the way to heaven. But when a child is neglected, like autistic children, and they're left to fend for themselves, that's a type of abuse. Mm. No one says anything. They just ignore it. Unless it's some kind of physical abuse. These children are suffering mental neglect. But they're being neglected opportunities.
Right. There are incidents now being reported where children are, because they are misunderstood, mm-hmm. they're spanked, shoved in a corner. There's a lot going on that, you know, the public is not aware of. They are susceptible to abuse.
I only can imagine what's happening on the family islands.
Yeah. Well,
if Nassau have it rough, we can imagine what's happening on the family islands. But I have 2 more minutes, right? Has your organization ever met with any of the ministers of parliament to say, well, let me hear what your concerns are and let me see if we can adopt one or two or address one or two of these issues? Have you ever met with any minister, Minister of National Insurance, NHI, Social Services, Health, just to say, so you can just voice your concern and say, man, this is what I'm frustrated with?
Officially? Our official attempts to make contact with them has been fruitless. Zero response. None. Nada. Nilch. They have not responded at all. Privately, I've had conversations with Dr. Davil, the Minister of Health. Mm-hmm. He's genuinely concerned. But I think when they took over office, they have so many fires they're trying to put out, that it's almost on a wait list. They want to do it, it's on the back burner. I think I'm hoping to continue to try to touch his heart. I think he is actually going to try, because he seems to be a go-getter.
Well, I will lobby and push, definitely.
Thank you.
I'm music on, so I definitely have to go. Okay. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, and I'm now an advocate for those children with autism.
We need your help.
My pleasure, sir. Have a wonderful day. We'll